Welcome to the Frederick Faith Debate on Frederick's News Radio 930 WFMD. I'm your host and moderator, Troy Skinner. Our panel this week consists of John Schweitzer from Crossroad Valley Chapel, Khalil El-Shazli, the president of the Islamic Society here in Frederick, and Drew Boswell from Daybreak Community Church in Frederick. Frederick Faith Debate is designed to be an open and honest forum for our local faith community leaders to share and discuss their views of the truth. Thomas Jefferson said, "The clash of ideas is a sound of freedom," and it's in that spirit that we seriously wrestle with important ideas, and you'll come to find in this show that sometimes we disagree. The hope is that through our wrestling, you will develop a better understanding of the truth about the most important issues that face us in this world. Today, we're going to discuss the question of why do bad things happen to good people? Our show is sponsored, by the way, by AllShred, AllShred Mobile Document Destruction, shredding today for growth tomorrow. You can contact AllShred at 1-877-2-SHRED. Last week, we were talking about the questions surrounding things like the tsunami and big natural disasters and things like that, and would God allow such a thing or perhaps even cause such a thing to happen. There are a variety of opinions on that, of course, and hopefully, if you listened to our show last week, you're able to come to a better understanding on your own view on God's sovereignty over such things. But in our conversation last week, we ended up talking about a couple of different things that I think are related. One, you know, sometimes bad things happen to these bad, evil people, whether they be nations or individuals. Hitler came up, people who persecute individuals of faith as a corporate entity, as a nation came up. And then it was brought up that, well, yeah, but bad things, when the tsunami hit, for example, it wasn't just, Christ haters who were killed, for example. It was Christians who were killed as well. So why would the Christians, from a Christian perspective, be killed? Or let's say from a Muslim who sees some devout Muslim there that they would say is a good person, why would this horrible disaster strike them and their family if they're good people? So why do, and I'm going to let John Schweitzer go first this time. I usually hesitate to let him go first because then nobody else gets a chance to speak. But I'm going to let John go first.
Woo.
Why do bad things happen to good people? And there's probably a couple of assumptions in that question, but go ahead.
Yeah, I'd simply answer that question by saying that according to the Bible, none of us can say that we're good enough to deserve to be free from bad things that happen. All of us have sinned in some level, some way or another, whether it's little lies that we tell or whatever it is. And according to Scripture, the wages of sin is death. And so anything even less than death that happens that is bad in our lives at some level, we don't have a right to complain about it. We are alive by the grace and the mercy of God. However, in saying that, I will say that Scripture promises very clearly that those who love God and submit to His purposes and humble themselves in His presence, that He will exalt them, cause them to be blessed and to prosper. And ultimately, every bad thing that happens in their life, God will use it for good. The passage says that I forget the passage. Thank you. What does it say, Drew?
Oh, we need to get him a mic.
Romans. Just talking about the Romans passage.
Yeah.
I know which one you're talking
The
about.
Bottom line is that here it is. All things work together for the good of those who love God and serve according to His purposes. Whether it's bad or good, all of the things that happen, God uses them for the benefit of those that really serve according to His purposes. And so the point is that I don't think any of us can really claim to be that good.
So the question, again, I was anticipating you might go in that direction. So the question really shouldn't be, why do bad things happen to good people? Maybe it should be more like, why do good things happen to bad people? Is that a fair way of turning
sure,
the question?
Sure.
Well, Drew, do you agree or disagree? Oh, you want Khalil to go first?
Yeah, go ahead, Khalil.
Drew defers to Khalil, and Khalil defers to Drew, which leaves the host in a quandary.
Oh, no, they're giving the microphone to John. Don't give the microphone to John.
Here I go.
It's very simple. Whenever you when you graduate from college, you work as an apprentice. The reason you do that, you need to gain some experience. You need to gain some toughness. So what do? You work as an apprentice. You work hard. Literally for nothing in the beginning. Then you get tougher. Then you get good at what you are doing. The same thing when it comes to religion. I'm just trying to connect the logic here. If you claim that you are a believer, if you claim you are a good person, don't think that you could just go about your life without being tested by God. Yeah. God will test your faith. Bad things will happen to you. You'll get hit with calamities. You get hit with disasters. You get hit. You get into a car accident. You know, one of your kids die. One of your kids get sick. You get sick. One of your family members get sick. One of your family members get die or whatever. God is testing your faith. Is your faith true?
Yeah.
Or false?
Yeah.
Or false. So, if it is true, and you get hit with calamity, it will strengthen your faith. Your faith. And if it's your fault, if it is false, well, it is false. Then you need to re-examine yourself and see where you are and what you're doing and trying to reassess really your faith and trying to really work to better yourself and better your faith and strengthen it.
Okay, now can I add one thing in addition to that?
Oh, boy, here we go.
All right. The one thing I would add in addition is that sometimes the bad things that happen to us happen because I've done bad things and I'm just reaping what I've sown.
That was not the question.
Yeah, because sometimes bad things seem to happen to good people. Yeah, the point is sometimes bad things. So I guess the point is sometimes I'm saying bad things happen to bad people.
Okay, I think I lost the question. I want to talk about why do good things happen to bad people?
Okay.
Is that what we're looking at?
Sure, that's
okay,
good.
Okay, all right, let's go back to our question, original question. I think because a lot of people, you know, they may claim to be a Christian or they may claim to be a good person, and then they really try to work hard, and they look around them, and their neighbor gets a nicer car, or the guy at work gets the promotion, or you know, whatever it might be, and you kind of say, well, man, I'm living my life the best I can. I'm doing everything I know to do. Why is it when you look around that other people seem to be getting blessed?
Yeah.
And Ecclesiastes, Solomon actually addresses this very question, and the whole book is geared toward that. And he says it's all vanity, vanity, vanity is where he comes down to.
Yeah, good point.
Of this issue of, you know, I don't think we necessarily need to be looking around and looking at others, but to be looking within and say, you know, am I following Christ? Am I following the things and doing the things that I know that I need to do? And then ultimately God is sovereign, and he will bless those who he chooses to bless, and he'll give the promotion to whoever he wants, and we need to kind of be content with what he's given us and be content with following him and being obedient. And then also I think Hebrews 11:6 talks about that God's a rewarder of those who follow him.
Yeah.
And so our reward may not be here. It may be elsewhere. And then I'd just like to end with this as well, is that, you know, Jesus Christ, God sent his only son, Jesus Christ, to come and die a horrible death for us as a gift. You know, Ephesians talks about that it's the wages of sin, that because of that, you know, God sent his son and he gave it to us as a gift that we can accept. Now, what better thing can God give us than that? You know, and I think that if that was all that he gave us, that should be enough, that we should be happy with that, and that we should serve him gladly and to you know, then that's enough. And I think we get too caught up on looking around at other and how others are being supposedly blessed.
I totally agree with that. Yeah,
it seems like if I could, you know, kind of lend an opinion to this and then let you guys react to that, it seems like anytime somebody would be bold enough to say, you know, why would God let this happen to me? That there's an issue of pride at the core there that needs to be dealt with, and perhaps that's why it was allowed to happen to them. Who knows? And Paul writes from prison that he, you know, is content in Jesus in all situations, and there's no greater joy for him than being
Good
connected
point.
To Christ and in
mm-hmm.
Christ, no matter what his situation. We have a good God, a sovereign God who is a loving God, and all the different attributes that we know. He's also a God of justice and things too. But which is why, through the fall, we have to deal with natural disasters and crime and all those sorts of things. It's all the natural result of the fall, and creation isn't the way it was originally set up. But all of that said, all things are a blessing. Would you agree with that? All things are a blessing. Even things that would seem to be the most horrific, horrible things in the world, all things can be viewed. Let's put it that way. All things can be viewed as a blessing.
And John mentioned that with the Romans 8:28 passage of, you know, God works all things for the good of those who love him and follow him. And so, I mean, yes, all things are a blessing, even the bad things. But then that's just another way of kind of rephrasing the question of why do bad things happen to good people? You hear that question. And then, you know, what you've just said is that there are no good people, basically. Yeah. You know, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So the fact that anything good happens to us, period, is an amazing thing because of who we are apart from Christ.
I also think that so often this discussion falls into the few cases of like major exception, you know? And so instead of dealing with the broad sense that people really are blessed, like say when they work hard and they work diligently and it ends up, you know, for their best benefit, or like say when people are honest, they tend to have more people that trust them, or say when people don't steal, or you know, when they take captive their thoughts, they tend to have better marriages. These kinds of things that, you know, where good things come from us choosing to obey God in certain areas. And I think that what happens is this discussion tends to focus in on that one person that we all know. And all of us thinks they're a good person, and yet something happens to them that is so bad, which is exactly what happened with Job. It's that one situation, that one guy that we all think deserves nothing bad to happen to them ever. And in that situation, we all zero in on it, and they kind of become this poster child, if as it were, for all those that think that that Christianity or any kind of an absolute God and absolute truth is unenlightened. And they'll use this as a poster child to say, see, there can't be a good God. It must just be evolution. There's no way that we can expect anything. My concern is that those are the issues that end up, or those are the situations that end up focusing all the attention of the conversation, and I think it's inappropriate for them to do so. I think there are Job situations where God, in his sovereignty, chooses to test even the best of us. You know, the ones that are the most righteous and the most good, and God even then tests them so strongly that you and I looking on would be like, wow, can there be a good God? And yet, what we're taught in Scripture from the situation in Job is that even then, God is just and holy, and he has both the right and the perspective to judge those things and to bring the kind of difficulty into our lives that he desires to. And in Job's situation, he ends up blessing him after what happened way more than he did before. The point is, it almost seems like God pays Job back for what he allowed to happen to him. I mean, can I say that? It seems almost that that's the case.
It's my biggest surprise of the show so far is we're about 13 minutes in, and we finally had Job come up. You know, when you talk about this issue, it's like the very first thing that comes up is, well, in Job, it took us 13 minutes to get to Job.
And
we're finally there. You're listening to the Frederick Faith Debate on Frederick's News Radio 930 WFMD. Jonathan Schweitzer is back again from Crossroads Valley Chapel. Khalil El Shazli is back again from the Islamic Society of Frederick. And back again also, Drew Boswell from Daybreak Community Church. And Khalil leaned forward before I jumped in to reset what was going on here, so I'll let Khalil add his two cents.
Yeah, I'm going to quote from the Quran. When God tells us or teaches us that sometimes we hate things that seems to be happening to us, and there is blessings and good in it. We just don't know it. Only God knows it. And sometimes we love things that we think they're good for us, and God's telling us, no, they're not good for you.
Yeah, this is important.
They're bad.
Yeah.
And also, God is telling us also in verses of the Quran that if things good happen to us, it's from God. And if something bad happened to us, then we really need to examine our deeds and examine what we're doing. Having said that, all good people are hit with calamities. You look at all the prophets throughout the scripture and throughout history. They were all hit with calamity. Almost each and every one of them were kicked out of their own homes or hometowns. They had to migrate or immigrate somewhere else. Some were tortured. Some people conspired to kill them, and so on and so forth. So why would God send you a prophet and have him face all these calamities?
right. Nobody wants to be a prophet. They're gonna end
to
up,
strengthen them.
Yeah.
You know, if they had everything easy, then you'll take everything for granted. And that is the whole point, really, that whenever you hit with calamity, you always examine yourself and see what you're doing.
And in some sense, it's all relative, right? I mean, take the average American, for example.
Well said.
And transplant them to any other nation in the world, and they're probably the wealthiest person in that nation. So when a bad thing quote-unquote bad thing happens to somebody in this country, it might not be perceived to be a bad thing at all to somebody in a different country. And I'm wondering, too, and I'm trying to formulate a question on the fly here, which is always dangerous. But I'm wondering if all these times that we individually face pain or suffering or some sort of consequence for whatever, that it's all meant to point us back to the only way we get full satisfaction and fulfillment is through a proper relationship with God. So when a loved one dies, we have a void in our life.
Yeah.
But if you have a proper relationship with God, you don't really feel that void the same way as somebody who had their whole existence wrapped up in that human relationship. Or somebody loses their job and they're destroyed by it. The person who maybe has a right relationship with God isn't destroyed in such the same way, because they're not trying to fill that void with some artificial filling. So is it possible that all of these, that the good to be found in all these bad things, is they're all used as pointers, as directors, to force people to seek the only true satisfaction they can find, which would be a right relationship with God? Do you think that that's a
thought? It says in Romans that creation groans, creation itself, meaning like the trees and you know, the ground and the mountains. Creation itself groans in eager expectation that the sons of God would be revealed. According to Genesis, the ground itself fell under a curse. And so the bad things that are out there, all evil, all sickness, all pain, all rejection, you know, and hatred of one another, it all stems back to that first fall of man in the Garden of Eden, where when they responded wrong to God, what was introduced into the entire cosmos is this potential for things to be wrong. And anyways, the point is that evil and bad things ultimately are traced back to that. And in immediate situations, Christ himself said that we have to be careful to not like say, Troy, something really bad were to happen to you or to your son. They actually brought somebody like that before Christ one time, and his disciples said, well, why is this child like this? Is it because this man sinned, or is it because he sinned, or his forefathers sinned? What happened? Why was this man born blind? And Christ said, look, it's not for you and I to figure out why this happened, but that the glory of God would be revealed. Jesus laid hands on him and healed him. The point is that God is a good God, and he doesn't want these bad things to happen to us. He wants to bring good into our lives, and that's how he's glorified. When his people go out into the world and help others to understand that God's bringing good into their lives, bring healing, bring prosperity, give, share with one another, that's what God really intends, is that whatever evil's out there, that we be instruments of redemption to help change those things and to turn it around. I don't think I answered your question, though, on that. I was trying to bring it back around, but I didn't.
I've grown used to it.
Yes. I'm so good at it. It had to do with whether or not just having the right perspective ends up making things less evil in our lives.
Yeah, if these quote-unquote bad things,
yeah,
again, tying back to an earlier comment, I said that maybe there are no such thing as bad things.
Yeah.
Even these things that would seem to be bad things are good things in the sense that they would force people to seek what they really need most, which is a right relationship with God.
Oh, yeah, this is how I intended to tie that in. The point is that all of these bad things that happen, every single one of them, if they're traced back to the fall in the garden, the point is, yes, all of them should be tools in our life or opportunities in our life to focus our attention back on God and what God intends for us.
Now, you brought up Jesus in your answer a second ago, the answer to your first attempt to answer the question.
Yeah.
From a pastoral sense, you know, we have two Christian pastors in the room here. That's one of the more comforting things, is the example of Jesus, right? With somebody who's really suffering and hurting, and you can point to Jesus and say, look, he suffered everything you can imagine, everything that you've possibly suffered, and then some he can relate.
And Paul and the apostles suffered, yeah.
In fact, there's a lot of Christians that think that that the Catholics are wrong in leaving Christ on the cross with their crucifix, you know, and they'll have up in the front of the room Christ hanging, you know, a picture of Christ or actually a sculpture of Christ hanging on the cross. And a lot of Protestants think that we need to take him off there because he rose from the dead and he's victorious. And the problem I have with Protestants that think that way, and I'm a Protestant, is that the greatest thing for anybody that is stuck in the center of suffering, the greatest thing for them to see and to meditate on would be the suffering of Christ. In fact, Mel Gibson said this himself. Mel apparently had an extremely abused childhood in Australia, and there was some deep personal issues that he had to deal with in terms of being healed from all that stuff. And the way that he went about stepping into that healing was to meditate on the suffering of Christ on the cross. And the reason why the movie was as violent as what it was is because as Mel meditated on what happened to Christ on the cross, that's where the healing came from. He realized that God himself went through way worse than I ever did. And you know what? He still loved. He still forgave that other guy on the cross. In fact, I've got a very close friend that I've been talking to that has been unsure in his own faith in God and came from a difficult background himself. Recently, he watched that movie, and since he came away, he is a lot less bitter about what happened to him. He's a lot less willing. He's a lot slower to say, well, where was God in all that? Because he realized that God allowed his own son to experience the fullness of the horror of evil on the face of the planet. And as a result, when anything happens to us, we can look to Christ to be renewed, inspired, and even to experience the same thing that he did, the resurrection power of God that pulls us out of the most horrendous of situations, heals us, redeems us, and just like Job, sets us back into a place of blessing despite how bad those things are that happen to us. And God could do that before we die, or he could do it after we die in heaven. Either way, the redemption and the resurrection is going to be such a powerful thing and such an amazing thing. It's a lot of reason to hope despite what's going on.
Now, we have slid so easily into this conversation. Everybody's kind of agreeing on so many things. But, you know, I'm going to relate a story. This is going back probably 2 years. I don't know. Time goes so quickly. And I was at a business function, and a business associate who I've known for a while was there. And we know a little bit about each other personally. We were talking about, you know, some things going on, and kind of this issue came up. Something, you know, bad had happened, and, you know, why do these bad things happen? And I said, well, you have to remember, you know, there are no good people. And she's a Christian woman, active in her church, and she was greatly offended. And she said, oh, you and I are going to have lunch and talk. You can't believe that. You can't really believe that. And I said, no, I really do. There's nobody who's perfectly a good person. And, oh, there's good people out there. We have to really talk about this. You can't go through life thinking that. So we so easily are talking about this as, well, yeah, that's the way it is. That's the truth. But I don't know if that's the mainstream people on the street view. I think most people have this view that that people are good. The whole Star Trek mentality, right? It's about this idealized future where man is going to continually get better and better and is going to reach his full potential, and that man is inherently good and is destined for greatness, which is not what we're talking about here. We're talking about, for the most part, we're talking about man is not inherently good and is deserving of any and all that would befall him.
You're trying to egg us into another conversation here.
So where is the disconnect?
The Bible teaches that in Genesis, whenever Adam and Eve partook of the fruit, and then they call it the fall in Genesis chapter 3, and sin kind of was ushered into the world, that it was introduced. Sin was introduced into mankind through one man, and so sin was passed from generation to generation to generation, and then we're able to be rid of sin because of one man, Jesus Christ, and that's kind of the plan. And so when you're talking about goodness, it's a subjective term, because when you say he's a good guy, you're not comparing it. When you compare it to Scripture, you're right, none of us are good then, but when you compare it to the man on the street who compares himself to Hitler and he says, well, you know what, I'm not such a bad guy. You know, that's kind of, I think, the way that we generally tend to think. And so I think that having a proper reflection of ourselves in the Scriptures, kind of, that's why I think the Bible is so important, because it tells us the truth about who we are. And it's not just what my opinion is.
So that's the disconnect, I guess. Where people want to compare themselves to somebody who doesn't measure up.
Somebody else, yeah.
Instead of comparing themselves to some idealized, perfect example, which for the Christian would be Jesus. I'm not sure from a Muslim perspective if it would be Jesus, but...
Which is an exercise in pride. As soon as I'm sitting here trying to compare myself to you to convince myself that I'm a good person because, look, at least I'm better than you are, I mean, that's an exercise in pride. I mean, I'm not really being honest with myself about myself. I'm trying to find those people that I think I'm better than so that I can appease my conscience and rationalize my behavior and say, well, at least I'm not as bad as Hitler. At least I'm not as bad as Michael Jackson. At least I'm not as bad as all these other guys that are out there. You know, I must be a good guy. It's an exercise in pride. I think you're right that we need to be more honest with ourselves.
All right. Khalil gets the last word.
Okay. I'm quoting here from the Quran that God is telling us, all sons of Adam are sinners, and the best amongst them are those who repent. That tells us, okay, worry only about yourself, better yourself, then look at everybody else. Don't judge others. Just judge yourself. Judge what you do. Look at your deeds. Are they good? Are they bad? Are you serving God the way God wants you to serve Him? Or are you just going around and looking at other people and ignoring yourself and forgetting about yourself?
So perhaps instead of asking the question, why me, we should ask ourselves the question, why not me?
Exactly.
And that's how
it
we'll...
seems so negative, but I think there's freedom there. The truth sets us free when we're finally able to be honest with ourselves.
Well, thanks again, the three of you, John Schweitzer, Khalil El-Shazly, and Drew Boswell, respectively from Crossroad Valley Chapel, the Islamic Society of Frederick, and Daybreak Community Church. This has been Frederick's Faith Debate on Frederick's News Radio 930 WFMD. Thanks so much for listening, and God bless.